The Hyde Collection presents the 80th anniversary of the Artists of the Mohawk Hudson Region. The Hyde is marking the special occasion with a campus-wide exhibition juried by Michael Oatman, artist and associate professor at RPI in Troy, New York. Beyond work for the Hyde's Wood Gallery this year, Oatman and the museum accepted proposals for interventions in Hyde House, as well as sculptures on the grounds. The Mohawk Hudson Regional provides a leading benchmark for contemporary art in the Upper Hudson Valley, and artists living within a 100-mile radius of Glens Falls and the Capital Region are invited to submit works for the jurors' consideration. Michael Oatman is known for his large-scale collages and installations integrating found, modified, and handmade components, including artifacts of material culture, painting, drawing, and video. He joins us this morning along with the director of the Hyde, our dear friend Aaron Coe, and it's a great pleasure to have both Michael and Aaron in the studio this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Always great to have you here. How did this... It's the 80th, so, you know, when you have the 79th, you're just assumed you're going to have an 80th. So how did this come to be, Aaron, as far as what you wanted to accomplish and how you got this guy involved?
Right, yeah. How did I get this guy? Well, when I came back as the director in July 2015, on the to-do list was I need to find a juror for the 2016 Artist of the Mohawk Hudson Region. And indeed, it's a big year because we're celebrating 8 decades of what is one of the longest running shows of juried contemporary art in the country. So I knew a couple of things going into it. One was that I definitely wanted to see us try to reshape or redefine what's become known as the regional. And in order to do that, I know that we needed a different approach, and therefore we needed a different type of juror. So, especially in light of all of that's going on at the museum right now,
right,
in consideration of our recent announcement of the gift of modern art from Werner Fibus and Jim Schmidt, our plans to now create a new gallery at the Hyde Collection dedicated to modern and contemporary art, which will be opening in June, I'm happy to report. So it was important that the juror for the 80th presentation of the Artists of the Mohawk Hudson Region could think big and could kind of work with me to redefine or reimagine the regional. And there was only one person who could fulfill an order of this magnitude, and that is Michael Oatman.
No pressure there.
No, none at all.
That's quite a setup, huh?
So yeah. if he had said no, it would have been difficult.
Yeah, it would have been.
Yeah. All right.
I have to lower expectations.
I want to get to Michael in just a second. You talk with great reverence about the regional, and I want you just to talk a little bit about how that fits into the landscape of the art world, the regional.
Well, it is, as I said, one of the longest running shows of juried shows of contemporary art in the United States. It was founded at the Albany Institute of History and Art.
But why are regionals just in general so important?
I think in this country, regionals are particularly important because some of the earliest art academies that were founded in this country in the 19th century, like the National Academy of Art in New York, were based on the concept of the juried show. That, and then this tradition sort of lives on, and there's different iterations and organizations throughout the country that take this on as sort of a central component of their mission, is that there has to be a judgment involved and there has to be experts involved, and that only it's through the eye of the expert or the connoisseur who can judge or jury art and present the art. So this is something that I think is ingrained in American culture. And certainly in American art history and in the history of display and the reception of art in the United States, that the art that's presented is presented by an expert. It's presented by, again, a connoisseur or someone who has that authority. So if that helps. I mean, I think so. Again, it starts in New York City, and then of course, you know, everything emanates out from the major urban centers, and then it sort of infiltrates every nook and corner, you know, eventually of the United States.
So in this case, the juror is Michael Oldman. So Michael, tell us a little bit about what this role means to you, and ultimately how you wanted to approach it.
Well, Joe, I've been, and Aaron, I've been faking being an expert for a long time. So it's exciting.
Good for you.
It's exciting to get this call. I moved here in 89 and applied for the first regional I could, I think in 1990, and was really delighted to get in. I think I look to it as the beginning of my professional exhibiting career. And then over the years, I've applied for many of the regionals and have made it in sometimes and sometimes not. And I never thought I'd get a chance to jury it, but it was a really exciting invitation. And as soon as I realized it was the 80th, we knew we had to do something with that iconically and in terms of the imagery. And interestingly, in the process of going through this, I learned that it's not the 80th, it's the 81st. There was some bad counting happening back somewhere in the 1960s.
Did somebody forget to carry the one?
Well, you know, if you think about it, the first one was in 1936. So if you count on your fingers, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. The 11th one is the, you know, 46th.
That's like the old thing my father used to say. He'd take his two hands and go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5 is 11. So you have 11 fingers.
That's great.
There you go.
That's great.
So, all right. So we celebrate the 80th, 81st. Who cares, right?
I'm calling it the 80th and or 81st annual exhibition of the Artists of the Mohawk Region.
So to the question of how you wanted to handle it and how you wanted to approach it, what were you looking for? Give us a sense of how much art came in and what you actually had to look at and where you went from there.
I think we had over 500 works by...
520 submissions by 274 artists. And from that, Michael selected 126 works by 106 artists.
Yeah, I just going with the numerology, we thought we had to have at least 80 artists. That made a lot of sense. And that
or
meant,
81.
Right, or 81. Good point. I wish I had known that then. But the quality of the work exceeded that sort of target number. And my first job, as I was reminded by Aaron, was to select great work. Mm-hmm. And that was easy. I made my first pass in you know, several hours and then came back to it a few days later and changed very little. But... we wanted to do something with the, I don't know, deploying of the work throughout the museum. And traditionally, the Hyde has used one large room, the Wood Gallery.
That would contain the show.
Right.
Right. So we wanted to reverse that model and to redefine the show by letting the show contain the museum.
Yeah. And so... I found the great work, and then sitting with it for a while, I began to realize that not only could I jury the show, but I could also curate several shows within this show. And I started asking for more space, and they were happy to give it. And in the end, I looked to the history of display, and museums in particular, to figure out how we could say something a little bit more global about the work that is supposedly regional. Mm-hmm. Because as I looked at the work, I saw, for instance, landscapes, of course, which were very plentiful, but that seemed to be dealing with issues of both beauty and destruction, contamination, the evaporation of habitats. And so landscape didn't really seem quite the right title for a section. Land view seemed to be more political. Mm-hmm. And then thinking about the call that we did for works for Hyde House and the grounds, site became very important. And this is a kind of concept that emerged out of the 60s and land art. So categories began to emerge. So when you start from the exterior of the museum, you see three beautifully cited works by James Van Dyne and Sharon Bates and Matt Crane. And Matt's work is what looks like a sort of half-scale fallen billboard on the front of the lawn, which prompted a lot of passersby to say, hey, you know, I can help you put that thing up straight.
I got a drill in the truck.
So, and Sharon's very, graphic and provocative installation is a series of really large targets called Practice that are on the lawn. And so these things guide you inside. And the first of the interior spaces you encounter or themes is Vault, which is on the left. It's, I think, humorously, the former gift shop of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a room that contains works that I felt were either about kind of value or luxury or even danger, because as we know, like, there are things stored in vaults today that have to do with state secrets and infectious diseases and things like that. So it's a room of kind of both the elegant and the slightly, you know, provocative. And then moving into the main space, you encounter an orange structure, a freestanding structure in the room, which is called Salon, and that hangs works on it in the manner of, like, let's say, the Louvre, things packed in very densely. And the perimeter of the room is called Mirror Grid on one side and Land View on the other. And I received so many great works that were submitted in pairs, it felt right to include some of those pairs intact, which is not usually done in the show. And then finally, moving into Salon, it is a white cube, and that section is entitled Cube. And that is more sparsely hung. It's more like a contemporary gallery, the style of which emerged from the 1950s in New York City. So there's really like a kind of historic tour through display strategies throughout the museum. And of course, there are three works cited inside Hyde House, which has never been done before in the many-year history of the museum. So Kathy Greenwood has made an incredible 200 paper doll, hand-painted paper doll coverlet for Mrs. Hyde's bed. There's a work by Derek Parker, which is a live plant growing in the sink of her bedroom. And finally, a collective called Blacklight Lighthouse has made a light and sound installation in the bathroom of a lower room.
Does the artist have input, or how do they feel, not that you're going to speak for all of them, of course, of how you place their art in the sense of how it works into your vision and ultimately into their vision?
Well, it was something that I sweated a little bit about. I thought, you know, my job basically was to select work and then, if I wanted to, leave it up to the Hyde to hang it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm an installation artist. I'm really interested in narrative. I'm really interested in history. So I just rolled the dice and thought, well, I hope the artists are okay with the work being sort of put into these new thematic groupings. And so far, I think people are enjoying it. But it was really also about putting a stake in the ground about Hyde's commitment to contemporary art and how the, you know, if they're trying to transform their museum, maybe their museum is going to transform the regional.
Oh, very interesting. And this is, if you want, Erin, an introduction into that, or at least a bridge, if you will.
Absolutely. And I think the show reinforces the museum's evolution and our own transformation as we embrace contemporary art. And it's exactly what, you know, I had set my sights on early on, thinking about the regional for 2016 and how we could redefine the boundaries and, you know, reshape its purpose and its meaning.
Now, just for people like me who are concerned of what you just, one of the things you just said, Michael, there is still a gift shop, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, you haven't taken away the gift.
No, we...
A lot of smoked meat and holiday hams, the usual.
Nice, peppermint pigs and all that.
Exactly.
Come get your holiday fruitcake at the Hyde.
And in the most obvious, in the most obvious transition I can make, there will soon be a book in that gift shop.
And there is soon going to be a book in the gift shop, exactly. So everybody can come see the catalog for the Mohawk Hudson region, and we're going to have a book launch party at the museum Friday, December 16th from 5:30 to 7:30. Artists will be able to come and get their catalog. Michael will be there to sign them, and everyone's invited to come and partake in this exciting event.
And the exhibit is on display through
December. Last day is December 31st.
End of the year. And you can find out more information by going to HydeCollection.org, HydeCollection.org. What have
Joe,
you got in front of you there?
Well, you know that we have this tradition of what I call visual art on the radio.
Yes.
Or lend me an eye, or an eye for an ear, whatever.
Yes.
I wanted to bring a little example of something that is related to work in the show. This is by Abe Ferraro,
okay,
a great Albany artist. And if you come to the show, you'll see four works mounted on the wall vertically that are cardboard constructions covered with packing tape. What I'm holding in my hand is an earlier example. This is a cardboard arrow, a three-dimensional arrow, that has been constructed out of cardboard and covered with stickers, postal stickers, and then finally covered with tape. And if you'll notice, there's a mailing label on it. So when I bought this work from Abe, it was mailed to me as is through the Postal Service.
So this went through...
This went through the mail.
The process.
It's part of its identity. And the four pieces that are on display at the Hyde from Abe were mailed to the Hyde with no protective packaging. They are themselves both package and art. And this is, I think, a really great example of the kind of ingenuity, humor, and, vision of the artists in this area. So in a way, I always think that the regional is...
It's very sturdy.
It is very sturdy.
Yeah.
And curiously, the Postal Service people in Albany are quite familiar with Abe's work now. He's mailed hundreds of these. And the deal is that he makes these to be mailed to the gallery, and then they're assembled on site by the curatorial team or the display team. So it's a really, I think, great encounter between performance and mail art and conceptual art.
And just a quick shout out to the United States Postal Service, 560, not bad to mail an arrow from one.
It's
from
great.
From Troy to Albany, for goodness sakes.
And I should point out that
he could have just dropped it off, but that would right. have negated the point, right?
But every time he
cheapest way to ship art.
Every time he re-exhibits this work, it's sent and it gets a new postal thing. So it has its own biographical history physically embedded into the object.
And down here, right underneath the label in Magic Margaret says Green, as in like Green County, G-R-E-E-N-E. And is that something that was added by the...
Well, it was sent to me where I teach at RPI in the School of Architecture, and we inhabit the Green Building.
So this was something added by maybe your mailroom.
Yeah, we figured out that it got to me about a week after it landed at RPI. there was some confusion.
Well, good to know that it's a school of engineering.
And
they can figure all that out.
And speaking of labels, I brought you one last thing.
All right.
One of the features of the... of the book we're doing, it's a 186-page book, is that not only are we showing every work that was exhibited in the show, but we also have an historical section. And I went to the Albany Institute of History and Art, the Hyde Collection, MySci, the Albany Airport Archives, and the University at Albany. And I looked for ephemera that related to the history of the regional, the 80th or 81st. And I just wanted to point out some of the great finds here.
Yes.
For instance, there is a letter signed by Edward Hopper.
Oh, wow.
Who was the sixth juror of the show.
Is that true? Really?
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing. That's great.
Well, it's a...
Not that I didn't believe you, by the way.
No.
I just wanted to check with Aaron. Is that true? Really?
It's been a star-studded cast. There's also a letter from David Smith, the great abstract sculptor, who was interested in being a juror, but he wanted to make sure the fee was right. And then as we go through...
Were you okay on that? You were okay with the fee?
I was okay with the
fee.
Okay,
all right, good.
It's unchanged since 1942. I got $40.
There you go.
But I also found this incredible exchange between an artist who had not been accepted into the show and the response from the director of the Albany Institute. And very briefly, it says, "Dear Mr. Smith, this letter is to inform you that quite a lot of people like I who appreciate fine art believe that the art exhibit of 1955 is truly unfair, and here is the reason. There was not one painting chosen for prizes or mentioned that was not what is called abstract painting. If that is the kind of artwork you wanted, there should have been two exhibits, one for abstract work and another for fine art painters. After all, there are still people who know how to paint and can truly be classified as artists. But the whole exhibit was a joke. I do believe that some of the fine art paintings accepted at least deserved an honorable mention. Think it over, Mr. Smith. As director of the museum, underlined, is it truly fair to other artists?" So the response, the letter goes on, and the response is...
And what year is this? I'm sorry.
1955.
Okay. And the response?
And the response, "Dear Mr. Sikirsky, your letter of May 5th stating your views on the 11th annual Greater Schenectady Art Exhibition has been received and read with interest. We are always pleased to have constructive criticism of the work we are doing, for without the evaluation of those whom we seek to serve, it would be difficult to make the progress which is our ambition. I must say, however, that the scathing terms with which you denounce our current exhibition betray you as a poor loser in a contest which was judged fairly by an impartial jury of experts, all from out of town. You might be interested to know that your portrait was rejected only after a great deal of deliberation on the part of the panel. Except for certain inaccuracies of rendering, particularly of the hands, it might well have been selected. So talk about a scathing response.
I only know you. We've met a few times, you've been a wonderful guest on the show, so I only know you a little bit. But I would think you would just be just waiting by the mailbox to receive a letter similar to that after your work.
You know, I've certainly been rejected from many shows, and I once was reviewed by a guy for a show that I had in North Adams. And no, it's actually the Decordova Museum. And it's the one time in my life that I decided to respond and kind of question his judgment on it. And we ended up having a very humorous exchange. He just thought the work was completely lightweight. And, maybe at that time it was. I'm willing to accept that.
So are all the artists in your
heavyweights
that you created
heavyweights?
But they're all happy with what you've done. And
I guess we'll see when the catalog comes out. There's always
we have the
rogue middle initial or something like that.
And the catalog will come out
December 16th at the book launch event at the Hyde Collection, starting at 5:30.
All right. Well, you can find out more information about all of this by going to HydeCollection.org. HydeCollection.org. It's the Mohawk Hudson Regional. It's on display through the 31st of this month, through the end of the year. Aaron Coe is the director of the Hyde. Michael Oatman is artist and juror, and it's a great pleasure to have you both with us. Have a great event and a great rest of the exhibition. And thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
And by the way, we'll have some photos of the stuff that you talked about up on the website along with the story, so people can actually see what we're talking about.
Well, if you're not totally sick of art and you want to OD this weekend, my students at RPI are having a show Saturday night in the Union called Speed Dating Duchamp. And it's an 8-year survey of our Duchamp seminar. They've made new works. They've curated it themselves.
And that's at RPI?
That's at RPI from 6 to 10 in the Shellnut Gallery.
Well, the Shellnut Gallery.
The Shellnut Gallery.
Well, imagine what kind of arrow you could get to the Shellnut Gallery.
Exactly.
It's a delight to have you both. Have a great holiday, and thank you very much for sharing with us.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.